Well, part of me wants to continue with part two of this morning's lesson, but we're actually going to continue with part two of Wednesday night's lesson, which we call the Law of Liberty, but we're going to look at a particular portion of it a little closer now, and that's the engrafted word. That'll probably be the title for tonight's, the engrafted word. So go to James chapter 1. Now, to set this up a little bit, because I know there's people that probably didn't hear Wednesday night's message, and that, again, is called the Law of Liberty. Let's do a little review first. So we'll pick it up here. Let's see. Anymore, I have to start at Genesis 1 on just about every lesson, you know. I think where we started actually was over in chapter 2. But this will be good enough. We'll just start here in verse 21. Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. And that's very King Jamesy. It really means the residue of wickedness. I'm probably not the only one that when I got born again, I brought a few things with me from the world. Affections and lusts and habits. And I've told you about my music and things that he wanted to purge me from that I kind of liked, you know. Part of me liked that. Well, that's what this is, you know. And you can, the type and shadow is, you can go all the way back to when God brought them out of Egypt in the book of Exodus, and they would cry for the leeks and the onions of Egypt, you know. Oh, poor us. We got saved. Oh, anyway. We're not slaves anymore. Oh, poor us. Brought us out here to die. Sounds like most Christians today. But anyway, it's the superfluity of naughtiness. I like better the residue of wickedness. It's things that we're still dealing with. Another type and shadow would be strongholds. Okay? Anyway. We're supposed to lay those apart, though. Lay apart all filthiness and residue of wickedness and receive with meekness. That word meekness is really important for tonight's lesson. It means teachability. Be teachable. Be humble. Now you'll see we're going to circle back around to that in a minute. But receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. And I love how this is worded. And the more I understand it, the more I love how it's worded. This is not talking about you being born again. This letter is written to people that are already born again. This letter is really talking about renewing the mind. And renewing the mind is more than knowledge. You can have a mind full of knowledge that's not renewed at all. And I'll show you what I mean by that in a moment. Okay? But be you doers of the word and not hearers only. Now notice he just said, receive with meekness the engrafted word. He's still talking about that same word. I better do it here. I looked up the word engrafted just to make sure, and it means exactly what you think it means. If you take a tree, you see, my dad used to love to graft trees. And he would graft oranges onto an apple tree. And he would graft a pear limb onto, you know, one time he had a tree that had three different fruits all growing in one season. Now they're kind of like mules. They can't reproduce. You know, you can have a mule, but you can't anyway, I don't want to get into how they're made, but that's the way these trees are. He got that tree produced, and I forget now, but I think it was an apple and a pear and an orange. No, it's a peach. Apple, pear, and peach with no citrus. Apple, pear, and peach. For one season, they were all growing on one tree. Never saw such a thing. Now, it only lasted one season, okay? Because, you know, it couldn't keep going. But this word is, that's exactly what it's talking about. I had Mary come, I'm going to ask her to do it again. Remember when I had Mary come up and Mary was in the world? Mary got saved. The second covenant. And I had her stand there and God says, I am going to write my law on your mind, and I'm going to write my law on your heart. That's the new nature. When that happens, that is the engrafted word. God literally wrote His law, His nature, into you. He did it by grace when you got born again. That is, when that nature that came into you, that is the engrafted word. That's the part that is part of you. He grafted it into you. And by the way, it's good. It'll continue to live season after season. In fact, if you let it, it'll drive everything else out of that tree. It'll take, that new nature will take over your whole tree. And that's when you walk like Him, talk like Him, and have the same results He had. Amen? So receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Oh boy, we'll come right back to that. But you gotta be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, now he hasn't changed the subject, he's talking about the engrafted word. If any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now that perfect, looking into this perfect law of liberty, he's talking like a glass, like a mirror. He said, it's like a man looking into a mirror. And we went to, I believe it's in the 2 Corinthians 3:18 last week, or Wednesday night, where it says, we behold as in a glass, the glory, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. We are changed into that same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, I don't know about you guys. You guys are probably too righteous for this to ever happen to you. You walk too holy. Gary has days where he looks in that mirror and he's not what he's expecting to see. I'm not talking about my physical self. I'm talking about who I am. And, you know, it's one of those days where I kicked Alan's dog. Cussed the cat. did like Nathan pull my knife out at the guy that cut me off in traffic, you know. The moral of that story is never carry a knife when you're fasting. Anyway. It's one of those days, okay? You know what I mean? And well, boy, I don't want to even look in that mirror. But on your worst day, who you really are, when you look in that mirror, it shocks you. Talk about Gary. It should shock me. I had one of those days. Kick the cat, whatever. And what I expect to see is ugly. But if I look in the law of liberty, if I look in the glass, the mirror of the law of liberty, see, what is that law of liberty? Romans 8, chapter 2. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Instead of saying the law of liberty, what if I said looking into the law that set you free? Isn't freedom the same as liberty? Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. When I look in that mirror, I expect to see ugly, ugly, ugly. But as God's child, when I look into the law of liberty, what do I see looking back? You see Jesus. And you go, no. Here's the soul. Here is the unrenewed soul. We're going to come back up here, able to save your soul. Because I look in that, and I'm looking into the law of liberty. I'm looking into that mirror, and it says, what do I see? I see the glory of the Lord. I see Jesus looking back at me. Because God made Gary in, when I got born again, God made me in the image of Christ. Same way He did you. And I look in there. Part of me, that can't be right. It's a bad mirror. Now, this is the best mirror you ever had right here. Best mirror you ever had. I look in it and I go, how can that be? And it's because it's by grace and not by works. See, it says, as we behold that glory, we are changed. See, you're never going to change him. Feet, stay right here now. Come on, I got to preach. You're never going to change him. He is the same. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it says, as we behold, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, we are changed. And you have to receive that truth. Now back up to verse 21 again. Wherefore, lay apart filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the engrafted word. It takes humility to believe this. Because we tend to believe what we see, what we feel, the circumstances that we had that day. That's what, who are you? I'm everything I did and said and was today. Well, we're not denying you should clean up your act. That's not the issue here. It doesn't change who you are. See? This perfect law of liberty is not going to change. It's what he wrote in your mind. It's what he wrote in your heart. It's the Ezekiel or Jeremiah, one of them, they prophesied, I'm going to take out that old stony heart and I'm going to put a heart of flesh on the inside of you. It's the new birth. You've got to receive that with meekness. Okay, no matter what Father, I repent for everything I did today. I come to the blood. I shouldn't have kicked Alan's dog. I should have spoke nicer to the cat. I sure should have spoke nicer to my wife. I shouldn't have cheated on my taxes. I shouldn't have, by the way, I don't cheat on my taxes. That is something I throw in there. But I shouldn't have done. So you should repent. Isn't that true? But none of that changed who you are. Now, I didn't bring it with me. I was reading today from E.W. Kenyon. Do y'all know who he was? He's another one that died about the time I was born. He died in 1948, and I was born in 47. These truths have been known for my lifetime. John G. Lake had them more than my lifetime. Paul had them way more than, anyway. It's time for us, though, to not just know these things, but to walk in these things. See, and that's exactly what James is talking about here. He said, see, here's the difference between a mind of knowledge and a mind that's been renewed. To illustrate it right here in this same passage, back up to verse 14. Let's talk about temptation. We're going to see if you're going to be a doer of the engrafted word or not. So we'll start in verse 13. Okay, verse 12. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Now in plain English, this guy got tempted, but he didn't do it. Boy, if you don't get anything else out of this lesson, understand this. Temptation is not sin. Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. The religious mind has a hard time with that. But he had a body no different than yours. His body came through Mary, which is traced all the way back to Adam. His body was subject to every temptation your body is subject to. Okay? He was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Well, he's talking about us walking that same way. So blessed is the man that endureth temptation. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he's tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted. Now, see, I heard a religious mind. It may not be in this room, but somewhere around the world, somebody hearing this is going to say, you just got through saying that Jesus was tempted. But right here it says, God is not tempted, and Jesus is God. He's not talking about Jesus in his divinity. He's talking about Jesus in his humanity right here. You got that? Jesus, the man, was tempted in all points just like we are. Okay. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, then, see, only then does it bring forth sin. Now, in plain English, he's obviously drawing a parallel with a woman getting pregnant. Conception. All right? You know, you can think about that and think about that and think about that, and that baby's never going to be conceived. You don't walk along one day, you know, you're not walking along in life and, whoops, slipped on a banana peel, and I got that lady pregnant. I don't know how that happened. Yes, you do. That did not just happen. You thought about it. You continued to think about it. You maybe went to the bar and had a little drink about it. You talked about it. And when finally you did it, see, it's something that you do. You got that? The temptation is not sin. Quit letting the devil tell you that it is. Say, well, there must be something wrong with me. I'm tempted. Welcome to the club. Even the Jesus club. He was tempted in all points. Okay. But when verse 15, when lust hath conceived, it brings forth sin. And sin, now, when it is finished, it brings forth death. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Now, he's talking about a perfect gift that comes down from God. And notice what it is, verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth. This was God's idea. It was God's idea for you to be saved. It was God's idea for you to pass from death unto life. It was God's idea to take out that law of sin and death and replace it with the law of life in Christ Jesus. And it was all him. It's all grace. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't work for it. You couldn't pay for it. You couldn't give an offering enough for it. You couldn't fast for it. It's free by grace. It's a perfect gift. And if you want to get real specific, it is the gift of righteousness spoken of in Romans chapter 5. Those that receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness. It's all him. This is the second covenant. Remember the first covenant? You keep my law. And if you keep my law, then I will be a God to you. Then I will bless you. But man couldn't do that. Man had that flaw, that law of sin and death. The Romans 7 guy, no matter how much he wanted to keep it, he could not keep it. So God said, that covenant's never going to work. We've got to do a different covenant. So this covenant, instead of you, because there was that fatal flaw, he says, I'm going to fix that flaw. And at the new birth, he takes out that old stony heart, puts in that heart of flesh, takes out that law of sin and death, puts into you the law of the Spirit. I said that a little wrong. No. In the same way that there is a law of gravity, still here, right? Law of gravity. Did you know airplanes fly? How are they overcoming the law of gravity? With a superior law. It's called the law of thrust and the law of lift. Those two together overcome the law of gravity. Isn't that right? See, and really what it says in Romans 8 chapter 2, it says, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made you free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin and death still exists. But it doesn't hold you down anymore. You're not a slave to it anymore. You have risen above it by the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Good stuff. So verse 18, this perfect gift is where he begat us with the word of truth. And it was all his. It was his own will to do it. Why? That we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Now this really kind of dovetails nicely with this morning's message, doesn't it? First fruits, a new species. Jesus is that quickening spirit. He's not creating new spirits the way that Adam and Eve did. No, he's taken the spiritually dead spirits of Adam And he's quickening them to new life, to everyone who will believe. But he is still the head of a new species that never existed before. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, a new creation. He is part of a new species that did not exist on the earth before. That's why it says about Jesus, he wasn't just raised from the dead. Lazarus was raised from the dead. Now, you know Lazarus was a good friend of Jesus, but Lazarus was not born again. Lazarus, that's before the resurrection, so he's not born again. So he has the law of this of sin and death operating in him, right? So he dies, and Jesus raises him from the dead, but he still, even when he's raised from the dead, he still has that law of sin and death working in him. Isn't that right? See, but Jesus wasn't just raised from the dead. It says Jesus is the first born from the dead. He is birthed to new life, and he is the beginning of a whole new species that's really the ones that are going to inherit the new heaven and the new earth. God's doing it in reverse this time. You know, in Genesis, he made the heavens and the earth first, and then he put man in it. But this time, he is rescuing man, getting them ready. And then he's going to take us up for a few years while he burns this one up and makes a new one. And then we all come down and he comes with us. We all live here forever. Glory, the pieces of the puzzle are starting to fit together. Glory to God. Isn't that good stuff? Man. So we are the first fruits of his creatures. Okay? Now in that same context, how did Dave do that? Man, James is just teaching wonderfully along here. He's just doing good line on line, but he just can't stay on topic for more than about four verses. Because all of a sudden now he's talking about controlling your temper. Wherefore, my beloved, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. He was doing good. Man, he was teaching on this new birth and teaching. Then all of a sudden, he's got this little... Well, let me talk about anger for a minute. I love our pastor. He hadn't changed the subject. How do you walk by the new nature? God writes his laws in your mind. He writes your laws, his laws in your heart. There's preaching from the inside now. He's talking about being tempted. Remember? So you're tempted to do something, all right? Let's go to my... I want to use Gary as an example. In my case, he wanted to get rid of my music. Now, I'm not preaching against music, but in my case, he wanted me to get rid of it because it was an idol to me. It really was. Y'all don't know this. I mean, you'd look at me now, you'd never think it, but I was lead guitar in a rock and roll band in the 60s. Yeah, we used to play sock hops all around town. Yeah, yeah. And music, I know, Angie just, Daddy? Daddy? Yeah, we did. And music became a real idol. It was a problem. It was an issue in my life. So let's go back to that first week. I'm just freshly born again. I'm not even baptized now. I can't Sean die or nothing. We're just talking about the work of this engrafted word. The engrafted word. I got born again. And when I got born again, God engrafted my mind with his word. It engrafted my heart with his law. With the new nature come into me, and now there's a voice that just flat wasn't there the week before. And it's telling me all kinds of stuff. I'm not getting it from church. We're not even going to church yet. I got saved through a little Bible study at Michael Muccio's apartment. So I'm not hearing this from the outside. It's coming from the inside. Well, that voice that says, quick to hear. Look at how it says it. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. I'll just take one example. That first week, we'll take the most embarrassing one first. That pornography has to go. I know you guys look at me at age almost 71. You go, what? I did not always look like this. I was in my 30s once. Anyway, that pornography has to go. Swift to hear. I'm hearing it. I was not slow to speak, though. And there was a little anger involved. My soul, this is to save your soul. My soul rose right up and started arguing with that new man on the inside. Get rid of the pornography. Do you know how much money I have invested in this in those days we didn't have digital, everything was magazines. And I was one of those that bought the plastic covers to protect them. And I wasn't ashamed of it either. If you come over, I'd show them to you, male or female. I didn't care. Proud of my collection, been working on it for years. Oh, that guy died. I got to keep him buried. We don't want that guy back ever. But if that's not a perfect... Swift to hear, this is how you walk by the new nature. See, he's talking about doing the work. Doing the work. It's the work of the law written in your heart. You're going to do the work, not just hear it. Well, I was hearing it. Pornography's got to go. And I'm arguing with it. There's a little anger involved. Do you know how much money? You know? Can you imagine being... Anyway. Well, just a couple of days, though, I'll tell you, though, that nature is relentless. He wouldn't leave me alone. I couldn't hardly get any sleep. Man, I was being taken to the woodshed. I mean, I was getting a whooping. I know what it means in Romans 12. God will scourge you, you know, if you're a son and not a bastard. He'll tan your spiritual hide. I couldn't get any peace. So, sure enough, just after a day or two, here it went. Then he comes after my music. Swift to hear. I heard it. Swift to hear. That music's got to go. Slow to speak. Slow to wrath. What? We already did the pornography thing. You want my music now? It's just music, Lord. Didn't you make music? You'll have all kinds of arguments, you know. See, the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. I can get mad about it if I want. I can buck up in my, buck up, B-U-C-K, buck up in my soul. I can get all up to, wrathy. That is not going to work the righteousness of God, is it? No. How do you walk in the Spirit? Swift to hear, slow to speak, and don't get angry. And be a doer and not a hearer only. Now, in that case, I'm going to bring up a more difficult one. Within that first few months, and I wish I'd have kept better records in those days. I'm better at it now. But it wasn't very long. And I'm reading through the Bible, the New Testament, really for the first time reading it all the way through. And I come to that part where you got to forgive everyone their trespasses against you. And I was swift to hear. I heard. And he brought, you know, I'm not going to go through the whole story, but he brought up a couple that I had ought against. In my heart, I thought they had really done me wrong at that time. Trust me. Anyway. But that's the way I saw it, okay? And immediately when I read that, I knew, I'm hearing, you know you're going to have to forgive them. And here we go again. I'd have been better off slow to speak. See, this process is to save your soul. Who's doing the soul? I mean, who's doing the speaking there? It's my soul. Arguing with him. This process is to, if you'll receive with meekness the engrafted word. Now, that means be teachable. Do what it says. It is able to save, deliver your soul. So I'm going to shorten it up, but he says, you're going to have to forgive them. And I said something real wonderful like, I don't want to forgive them. In fact, I want them to die and I want to do the killing. That's exactly what I said. Well, he's still relentless. I couldn't get past that. It would come back. He'd say to me, you're not going to go very far with me unless you forgive them. And I'm going, well, I want to go far with you, but I don't want to forgive them. But he just kept on. And finally I went, Lord, I'm searching. I can't find anything in. I don't even know how. I don't know how. How would I start? I'm so mad, so angry. I'm so hurt. How would I even do that? I'm looking inside. I can't find anything in me that even wants to. Receive with teachability. Listen. Be a doer of what he says. Got that? So he said to me, all I want you to do is just pray. Every time you think of them, ask me to bless them. That's all I want you to do. Start there. Have you ever tried not to think of somebody? I'm not going to think about, I thought about them. And the first time I did it, this is not an exaggeration, I said, okay, Lord, I thought of them. I'm asking you to bless them, and you know that I don't mean it. Because I didn't want to be a hypocrite. I knew that he knew. That was okay. I didn't know lightning bolts or anything. You know? A little while later, I thought of him again. Okay. Like a little kid. Go clean your room. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'll pray for him. Okay, Lord, I thought of him again. I'm asking you to bless him. And I still don't mean it, or something like that. But you know, he's relentless. And that just kept happening, and over the span, again, it wasn't very long, it couldn't have been more than 2 or 3 days. That kept happening, and I noticed a little adjustment in my heart began to happen. A tenderness began to happen. And I remember the first time I prayed something like this, I thought of him again, and I thought, I thought of him again, Lord. I want to ask you to bless him. You know, and I don't really want anybody to go to hell or anything, so. Okay, you can really bless them this time, and I mean it a little bit. Something like that. There was a change happening in my heart. Now, here's the amazing thing. You talk about saving your soul. As that process from there continued, only then, and I don't know if it ever would have happened if I had not have obeyed him, only about then did he start removing the scales off of my eyes. Because up until then, I would have sworn in court that I was pure as the driven snow and those evil people had done these horrible things to me. But he began removing the scales and he began showing me my part. Come to find out, I was not quite so pure as I had imagined. And in fact, he kept showing me more of my part and more of my part until at the end of it, I was praying harder for me to be forgiven than I was for them. I was worse. It really was. I don't know if that ever would have happened. See, that's how people can stay bitter, resentful, and it'll get bigger and worse. If you don't do this, it's like the unsaving of your soul. And you get worse with time. It gets more bitter and more hostile. And then it can cause all kinds of physical things to happen. But that's what it means. See, this is all one thought. This is really how you walk in the light as he is in the light. You receive with meekness. Be teachable. Now I'm giving you personal examples, but let's go one step farther. Yes, sir. I don't know if we'll come back or not. But hold your place there and go to Romans chapter 5. We used this verse this morning also. Let's talk about this gift of righteousness, which you received when you got born again from the Father of lights, this perfect, holy gift of righteousness that he gave free by grace to deliver you from the species of Adam. So Romans 5, the one I'm after is verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned, that one man, who's that? That's Adam. If by Adam's offense death reigned by one, and I always like to say, how much did death reign? Wasn't it 100%? You know anybody that got out of this planet without it? Well, just one, I guess. Enoch. Maybe Elijah. Not sure about it. Anyway. Well, I guess two then. But for most, it pretty well reigned 100%, didn't it? But notice, no matter how much death reigned, much more. See, what you received is much more powerful than the death brought into this world by Adam. Look what he says, much more. They which receive abundance of grace, now notice, and the gift of righteousness, the gift of righteousness, shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Now, I mentioned E.W. Kenyon, and I never did say what I was going to say. I was reading one of his little books. It's called Two Kinds of Righteousness. I highly recommend it. He had these same truths before I was even born. He says, this gift of righteousness, if you can picture again, Mary, she was just part of the world, but she was crying out to God. So God sent somebody to preach Jesus to her. She got born again, and at that moment, that gift of righteousness, she became a new creature when she believed on Jesus. And the gift of righteousness, that it's part and parcel of the new nature. It's what you see when you look into the perfect law of liberty. You see the glory of the Lord looking back at you because that's who you are. That gift of righteousness literally became her. And it's a gift. You don't earn it. Now, having that gift and walking in that gift are two different things. Most of Paul's epistles, the first half of the epistle is building you up. Oh, you Corinthians, you come behind in no gift. Everybody has heard of your faith. You know, doesn't it start off like that? And by the end of it, if you don't repent. Because in all of his letters, somewhere about midway through, it's, now I'm writing that you walk worthy. Walk worthy of what he's given you, see. All right? Well, E.W. Kenyon was saying things like this. He says, receiving with meekness the word of righteousness. Let's just talk about that. The word of righteousness. You come to the mirror looking into the perfect law of liberty. I think I'll look into the law of liberty today. And we're on Gary's bad day where I kicked Alan's dog, spoke bad to the cat, cheated on my taxes, which I don't. I'm going to look in the mirror. I'm going to look into the law of liberty. It isn't going to be pretty, but I'm going to look into it anyway. And you look, and what do you see? Just a minute. Just a minute. Get a little water, splash my eyes. What? Jesus? I see the glory of the Lord? Now right there, your soul is either going to believe how you were today, or it's going to believe what the Word says about you. And you have got to receive the truth with meekness. Say, my righteousness is not based on what I do. My righteousness is not based on how I acted. I need to repent for those things, but it doesn't change who I am. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I am still His Son. I am still a joint heir. Amen? And you can break fellowship with sin. Absolutely, you can break fellowship. That's why God gave us 1 John 1:9. John himself wrote in chapter 2, he says, I'm writing this to you that you sin not, meaning you can not sin. I'm so glad that next sentence is in there. But if any man sin, you have an advocate. You have a lawyer, Jesus Christ the righteous. Oh, and by the way, the judge is your father. That's good. Can you see how you got to receive with meekness? So E.W. Kenyon was saying things like this. He says, man is determined. See, the righteousness we have is by faith. It is righteous by faith. You have it because the Word says you have it. Let me do it another way. Oh, he said it like this. He says, man is determined, even the religious man, to obtain righteousness by works. We keep sliding back in our thinking, well, if I had a good day, then I'm righteous. Or we'll fast for it. And if you read enough of his book, he's all about fasting and praying and okay. But fasting doesn't bring you righteousness. Praying in the Spirit doesn't bring you righteousness. Good works doesn't bring you righteousness. Giving money to the poor doesn't earn you righteousness. It is a gift given freely by God's grace, and all you can do is receive it. But if you receive it, then you've got to start walking in it. And that E.W. Kenyon said it like this. He said, if true righteousness ever dawns, whenever it dawns on a man's soul, suddenly he walks above sin. If it ever dawns on a man's soul, the free gift of righteousness, who he has really become, he will walk above disease. E.W. Kenyon, before I was born, wrote that. He understood that the law of the Spirit of life makes you free from the law of sin and death. And sickness is just a cousin. It's an ugly cousin of death. Isn't that right? If we receive with meekness the engrafted word, that's how we begin to reign in life, by Jesus Christ. That law of liberty that's on the inside of you, let me say it another way, that free gift of righteousness, that is Christ in you. That is Christ in you. He had that life in him first. Remember the road-tested life? He road-tested it for you. It's good. Here. You can watch how it worked for me. It'll work for you the same way. The same life in him, he put it in you. Isn't that right? So how did he walk? How did he do it? He listened. He was swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Whatever you say, God, that's what I'm going to do. No matter if my flesh likes it, no matter if my flesh doesn't like it. Y'all getting anything out of this? And see, only by that process. That's why he says, go back to James. I should have kept it myself. I did. Hallelujah. Go back to James chapter 1. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay. Cadanda stand librato. Okay. Now, again, in James, he was talking about walking free from temptation. Remember that? Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. All right. So he's still talking about that. How are you going to endure it? Well, first off, I'm going to look in the mirror. I'm going to spend some time looking into the perfect law of liberty. I see who I am. Oh, I am as he is, so am I in this world. I have the life of Christ in me. I'm a son of God. So you're hearing this voice like, okay, here comes a temptation. Whatever it is, I'm going to pick something stupid. You drive right up to the Krispy Kreme donut shop and the hot light is on. Now see, one wouldn't be sin, but my motto is, the first dozen are always good. I can eat a dozen of them in 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes. And if you start on the second, before the belly hurts on the first, anyway. All I'm saying is it can become sin. I'm just using something as a temptation. Okay? There it is. It's the temptation. The temptation here is gluttony. I could have picked something else. The temptation is not, it's gluttony. Okay? Now, if I am a forget, and now the thing of it is, the urging in the flesh is strong. You know? I just take a worse one, nicotine. When I was going through that, my body, are you kidding me? My body said it was going to kill me. Fed my body nicotine for decades and cut it off cold turkey. I mean, it was going to kill me, you know? And I'm telling you, it's strong. So you've got this strong feeling and you've got a thought. And the thought is, I'm the righteousness of God. So now I've got a thought and a feeling. No wonder it says in Hebrews, the sin that does so easily beset us. Because you don't feel strong. What you feel is temptation. Isn't that right? And besides, you did it before and lightning didn't strike. And maybe His mercy will cover it. And I can quit next year. See? Well, that's the man that's being a forgetful here. You heard it. You not only, and it's talking about the engrafted word. The word from the inside. You're a son of God. You don't eat 12 Krispy Kremes at one sitting. You're not bound to nicotine anymore. You're not a glutton anymore. You're a child of God. Well, now you got a choice. Your righteousness, which is by faith. You feel unrighteous. You feel tempted. You feel like that same old person you always were. But have you been looking into the law of liberty? And if you have, and it says you're free, if you're not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, what is that? Romans chapter 2. For the Gentiles, which have not the law, they do by nature those things contained in the law. The law that becomes a law unto themselves, and it is the work of the law that is shown through them. See, that work, if you become a doer of the, how would you be a doer of the work? Eat 2 Krispy Kremes and walk away. Or if it's nicotine, I'm never touching that again. Or whatever it is. If it's fornication, let it not be once named among you. This is how you do it. But over the time, it saves your soul. You become it was so hard to forgive that in that first thing. Forgiveness now, after all these, it's easy with practically anybody. I'm not saying perfection, but it's sure a lot easier than it used to be. I've had people call me now to apologize for stuff I didn't even notice. They did something that they thought offended me. And maybe for months. And God's been dealing with them about it, and I didn't even know they offended me. They did. I just think that's funny, anyway. Because I know how different it is from how it used to be, see? Anyway. And you can train your flesh. My flesh has not wanted nicotine for years. Thank God. It hasn't wanted alcohol for over 30 years. See, you can get purged of stuff. Jesus presented His body holy, and we're coming into the year. We're going to be presenting our bodies more holy than they've ever been presented before as instruments of righteousness for the kingdom of God. Amen.